Here it comes again. Here it comes again like a bad boomerang. Now, I guess that would be a good boomerang if it comes back. But this is a bad boomerang in that the boomerang itself is back, is bad, and we don't want it to come back. Are you following me so far? All right, what am I talking about? This idea that suffering is to be lusted after, that suffering is to be prayed for, and that suffering is even to be sought, or we will miss out some great spiritual thing that God has in store for us. All right, it's back, and I have to shoot it down whenever I see it, because I don't want us to become a bunch of Catholics who think that, you know, we become the creators of our own suffering, and that we sacrifice for Christ, and that we give up things, legitimate pleasures that we like, even illegitimate ones, maybe, perhaps, I don't know, and that this will bring us into a greater favor, greater placement with God. Now, I'll start out by saying, I'm going to read you a couple of things. I'll start out by saying that, yes, God does use suffering. And yes, suffering did perfect his son. And yes, suffering is absolutely necessary. But dare I say, it will come to you. You don't need to look for it. You don't need to embark on a suffering program. In fact, I recommend avoiding suffering as much as you can. Avoid it within the context of course, you're going to follow Christ, you're going to follow his teachings. But just by doing that, suffering will come to you. It will come to you automatically. I'm going to quote you a couple of scripture passages. Those wishing to live devoutly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I'm going to put the reference down here. Those wanting to live devoutly, if you're following Christ, you will be persecuted. Nobody goes out and says, how can I get some persecution? How can I get persecuted? I need persecution. I want persecution. Nobody wants persecution. Persecution sucks. Suffering sucks. Trials suck, and you want to avoid them. And if you're a normal human being, if you're sane, you will avoid trial, pain, and suffering. But what I do encourage you to do is to live devoutly in Christ Jesus. Live devoutly. Paul says those who are living devoutly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay, then. But I don't give a crap about the persecution. I mean, I know it reaps dividends, and I know there's great worth and value to it. But you see, we're not seeking the persecution. We're seeking living devoutly in Christ Jesus. We're not even supposed to be thinking of persecutions. We're not even supposed to be, or sure as heck not supposed to be, aiming for them or desiring them. Another verse, 1 Timothy 4:10. We rely on the living, for this we are toiling and being reproached, that we rely on the living God who is the Savior of all humanity. 1 Timothy 4:9, 10. Okay, I rely on the living God who is the Savior of all humanity. I'm being reproached for this. Reproach sucks. I don't want it. I'll avoid it if I can. But I'm not going to disown Christ. I'm not going to disown my belief, but that's my thing. The belief is my thing. And I proclaim it because I have to. I'm not doing it so that I can suffer. Suffer will follow naturally. Even Jesus Christ himself tried to get out of it. It was good enough for him. It's good enough for me. Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thine be done. So our Lord himself tried to pray his way out of suffering. He even told his disciples to pray the hell out of suffering. Lord, lead us not into temptation, right? But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. That was the prayer our Lord gave to his disciples. Lead us not into trial is the way that literally reads. Lead us not into trial. Well, there are some members of the body of Christ who would have us pray ourselves into trial. And unfortunately, Clyde Pilkington is one of them. And I've taught on this before, but it raises its ugly head again here. And I love Clyde, you know that, but he seems to really focus on this suffering business. I don't like to focus on it because I don't like it. Deliver us from evil. Jesus had his disciples pray, deliver us from evil. This should be our prayer. I mean, our prayers, I'm not saying that the disciples' prayer is our prayer. We don't pray it. It's for the disciples, but it's normal human thing to, Lord, deliver me from this evil. Lord, get me out of this trial. Of course, what are you crazy? Are you nuts? Nobody prays, Lord, bring me into a trial. Lord, I pray for suffering and temptation and trial and deliver me into evil. Now, again, Jesus himself says, get me out of this, I pray. Get me out of this. But, you know, you hold the cards. And he didn't get out of it. Of course, we're not going to, once God brings a trial, there's no escaping it. But you're always looking for an escape hatch. Hell yes, what are you, crazy? You're looking for an escape hatch. Jeez, otherwise we become a bunch of Catholics. Thinking that by putting ourselves into this suffering situation, we're going to gain brownie points. Again, suffering is valuable, but only as we ignore it and go toward Christ. All right, Daily Goody, a couple days ago, from Clyde Pilkington. This guy is, Clyde's quoting this guy named W.T. Tunley. Never heard of the guy. I looked him up on the internet, couldn't find anything about the guy. He wrote a book, apparently, called Climb the Heights. Oh, I don't like the title. Climb the Heights? In 1956, Climb the Heights. Sounds like some self-help spirituality program. Climb the Heights. Now, I, Martin Zender, I am on the heights. But I didn't set out to climb the heights. I'm just following Christ. And I find myself on the heights. But this Climb the Heights thing is a Christian battle call to do monumental things for God. It is, it just fuels religious people. It makes them insufferable. They're climbing the heights. Why aren't you? Even though I'm climbing the heights, I'm here in the same boat that all of you are. I'm struggling on this frickin' planet. I don't like it, and I'm looking for an escape hatch. Because I'm normal. I'm not a weirdo. And yes, I proclaim Christ. And yes, I have suffered greatly for proclaiming Christ. And yes, my sufferings were necessary. And yes, they will pay great dividends in the coming life. I know all that. But listen to what this Tunley guy is saying in his book, Climb the Heights. He's quoting Philippians 3:10. I'm going to go there, of course. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Quoting Paul in Philippians 3:10. Going to get to that. Here's Tunley, the author of Climb the Heights. If we look on suffering as something to be avoided at all costs, we will take no more of it than is forced upon us by our circumstances. In that case, we will miss everything that is best in life. That's not the end of the quote, but I must stop here and have a little chuckle. What? What? I can't believe what I'm reading here. What gets into people? Is this guy an ex-Catholic? Trial and suffering is everything that's best in life? Trial sucks. What has happened to you? I'm gonna have to turn my car on and get some air in here. I'm dying from this quote. Dying from this quote. All right, let me see if I can read this again. If we look on suffering as something to be avoided at all costs, we will take no more of it than is forced upon us by our circumstances. In that case, we will miss everything that is best in life. But if we take it as one of God's gifts, as one of the means by which he is imprinting his image on our characters, we can more readily understand how suffering may be working out his purpose for our good. And so join with the apostle in the prayer. This is not true what he's about to say here. With a prayer that we might be brought into full the fellowship of the suffering of the captain of our salvation, who is himself made perfect through suffering. All right, let's look at what is true about this and what is false. First, what is false? Suffering is not the best thing in life. It sucks. If we look on suffering as something to be avoided at all costs, we will take no more of it than is forced upon us. This can be tricky here, because we're not going to avoid it at all costs in the sense that we're going to abandon Christ or we're going to throw away our beliefs because life would be easier without this Jesus business. So we're going to abandon Christ. No, we're not going to do that. So that's too high of a cost to avoid suffering. That's too high of a cost. But we're doing that. It's like, once it's in you, once the Spirit of God is in you, how can you not do that? How can you not pursue Christ? How can you not talk about the things that have come into your life? So you do it, like Paul says in whatever verse, those wishing to live devoutly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So living devoutly in Christ Jesus is just a natural instinct, because we have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. If we have these things, we are going to be living devoutly. We can't help it. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I live devoutly every day. Can't help it. It's the Martin Zender way. But it's because of the Spirit of God making its home in me. And it animates my body, my disposition. It causes me not to murder people. Causes me to be kind to people. Causes me to be patient unless I'm driving. So, yeah. So if we look on suffering as something to be avoided at all costs, we will take no more of it than is forced upon us by our circumstances. I am a champion of taking no more of suffering than is forced upon us by our circumstance, allowing that we're already following Christ Jesus. See, I'm not telling you to abandon Christ Jesus to avoid suffering. I'm not telling you to not herald Jesus Christ as the Savior of all humanity to avoid suffering. Of course, I'm not telling you that. But look at what Paul's saying. Those wishing to live devoutly in Christ Jesus. He's not saying those wishing to be suffering. Before I go into that, we need to read the rest of this thing. And so join with the Apostle Paul in the prayer that we might be brought into full the fellowship of the suffering. Paul did not pray this. Okay, so let me go back to what I was saying. Then I'm going to go to Philippians 3:10. Then I'm going to quote Clyde from a Bible student's notebook. Those wishing to live devoutly, your eye is focused on living devoutly. You will be persecuted if you wish to live devoutly in Christ Jesus. You will be persecuted. But you're not trying to be persecuted, right? You're just trying to live devoutly. And 1 Timothy 4:9-10, we rely on the living God, who is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. Paul says, for this we are toiling and being reproached. So we're being reproached for that. People are reproaching us for teaching that. So I don't recommend stopping the teaching of that if it's in you to teach it. But you're not doing it in order to suffer. I mean, I've been tempted to do this. Like, I remember asking my friend one time, we were driving up to Baldwin, Michigan, and I was speaking at a conference up there, and we're driving up, we're stopping at like Wendy's to get a hamburger. I said, you guys ever wonder, why aren't we being persecuted? Are we doing something wrong? Oh well. You know, I thought we weren't, it was strange that, you know, we weren't being hassled or harried or being persecuted, but I look back on that, and I think, what else was I supposed to do? I was teaching the word. I'm heralding it. I'm putting out in a newsletter. I'm putting myself out there. So it's not like I'm trying to avoid suffering, but I'm just like, hey, lucky me, whatever. But if Christ wants to bring me persecution, and he has, then yes, it's a gift, and it ratchets up my score in the heavenly realms. This has to do with service, not with salvation. Salvation isn't a score, ding, 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 on the pinball machine of suffering. Salvation is a gift, but the suffering comes along with the heralding. All right, join with the Apostle Paul in prayer, says W.T. Tunley. Did Paul pray for this? Let's go to the passage. I can't see. I've read this thing like 5 times just in the last 30 minutes. I don't see where Paul's praying for suffering. Philippians 3, verse 7. Things which were gained to me, I have deemed as a forfeit because of Christ. But to be sure, I am deeming all to be a forfeit because of the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, because of whom I forfeited all, and am deeming it to be refuse, that I should be gaining Christ. This is what Paul's after, to be gaining Christ. That's what he's praying to do. And he prays for the Ephesians, he prays that they come to a realization of Christ, and to a realization and a recognition of the truth. It's all truth-centric. It's all Christ-centric. It's toward Christ, toward the truth. That's all you're thinking about. You look behind you, you see the trials come. That's fine, but a normal person will not want to get into any trials, and they're not the best things in life. They suck. The best things, trials may, the ones that God brings you as you're going toward Him and not thinking about trials at all, they will reap great benefit and they will pay great dividends in the next life. There's no doubt about that. But to be praying, to be brought into trial, it's just the opposite. Lord, get me out of trial. Lord, deliver me from trial. Lord, lead me not into evil. Lead me not into temptation. Let this cup pass from me. That's what we're supposed to be praying. If you're normal. Otherwise, you're Catholic. Paul says that I should be gaining Christ, may be found in Him, not having my righteousness, which is of law. I'm now in verse 9 of Philippians 3. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is from God, for faith to know Him. To know Him. And the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, yes, that's in here, conforming to His death, if somehow I should be attaining to the resurrection that is out from among the dead. So, fellowship of His sufferings comes with it. Comes with what? With gaining Christ. It comes with the territory. Probably, unless you're driving to Baldwin, Michigan in the mid-90s, stopping at Wendy's and getting a hamburger, not being pursued by the circumcisionists, not being beaten by the Jews. Strange situation. I asked the people I was in the car with, why aren't we being persecuted? They just shrugged and kept eating their double quarter pounders. Why aren't we being persecuted? Oh, well, I'm glad I wasn't persecuted. I had small children. I wouldn't want to be persecuted. But if it came, it came. If somebody killed my family because of my faith, then I'm going to reap great rewards for that persecution. But I would say to Christ, Christ gives me a menu to pick out things. And on the menu is a little side dish that says, eat quarter pounder on way to Baldwin, Michigan in peace. And the other little side dish says, children and wife killed by rabid Baptists who object to your teaching. I will not check that box, I guarantee to you. No. I will check the quarter pounder box. I will order a side of coleslaw, not murder of my family. Okay? I won't even check the box that says I bang my head on the kitchen cupboard. There's a menu of things for today. All right? One is, get a check in the mail for $100. The other is bang big toe on door jam and break it and go to emergency room to have big toe cured by evil doctors. I won't check that box. I will not check that box. I will check the first thing I said, whatever it was, that nice, pleasant scenario. Oh, yeah, getting a $100 check in the mail. Or, you know, instead of going to the hospital, getting my body fixed, going to Subway and getting a sandwich, or going to Chipotle and getting a burrito bowl. These are the great things in my life, and I will look for these things. I pray for these things. Pray for burrito bowl. Pray for Subway. Pray for $100 check in the mail. Do not pray for toe to break. Do not pray for head to bang. Do not pray for family to be murdered. Paul never prayed for trials. He's not praying for trials in Philippians 3. He's praying to know Christ. And that with that comes the fellowship of his sufferings. All right, I got to quote Clyde here. Sorry, Clyde. I love Clyde, you know that, but and Bible students, but this thing comes up again, and I got to deal with it. I don't want anybody thinking, oh, how come I don't have enough trials in my life? Maybe I'm living too good of a life, you know? I should be suffering more. No, you shouldn't be. No. If it's not in you to teach, if it's not in you to, like, herald or make your life, don't worry about it. God will bring you enough trials that are tailor-made for you. Enjoy your life. Good for you. Go for it. Pray that God continues to give you your non-trial life. Pray. And those of you that are in a trial-filled life, pray to get the hell out of it. That's what I do. Pray out of it. Clyde says this in Bible Students Notebook 488. I can't believe Clyde wrote this, honestly. But I have to, this is a public teaching, and that's why I'm reading it, and I'm all because it comes up again in this latest Bible Students Notebook. Quote, life matters. The details of life matter. The details of life are strategically designed by God to have meaning and purpose. Yes, yes, I agree with all that. Back to the quote. Don't waste your time imagining that you will be raptured, that is, delivered away from your divine training ground. It will be a costly mistake. Father is getting you ready for something bigger. Don't come up short in your experience for celestial service. Where do I begin with this? Don't waste your time imagining that you will be raptured or delivered away from your divine training ground. Ladies and gentlemen, the deliverance from our divine training ground is scheduled. It is the next great event in God's Aeonian program. So it's not our imagination that we are going to be delivered away. Doesn't Clyde read this, that we're going to be delivered away? How is it a waste of time to imagine what that will be like? Yes, we're in a divine training ground, but how is it a waste of time? Don't waste your time imagining that you will be delivered away from your divine training ground. But it's promised that I will be delivered away from it. And it sounds great. It sounds tasty. Sounds juicy. I want it to happen. I imagine it all the time. What, it will be a costly mistake, quoting Clyde, a costly mistake to imagine being delivered away from my divine training ground. How will it be a costly mistake? Don't come up short in your experience for celestial service. How could I possibly come up short? As if God listens to me anyway. As if me praying to him today, like, bring the rapture today, please deliver us from this horrible hell pit down here, which a legitimate prayer. Deliver us from evil. Lord, deliver me, deliver all of us from here. That's a costly mistake, according to Clyde here, because I will come up short. But as if God would say, well,
oh, Zender is praying for the snatching away. He's really wanting the body of Christ to be delivered from their divine training ground today. Wasn't going to do it till next year, June 7th. That was my plan. But since Zender wants it, I guess we got to do it.
So he snatches away the body of Christ, and everybody's going, oh, man. God's going,
I was going to give you more trials. I was going to give you more trials to fit you for divine service, but no, Martin Zender prayed, and because of him, you've all come up short in your experience for celestial service, so I'm afraid I'm going to have to demote all of you.
And then there's a collective groan, if only Zender hadn't prayed to get out of here, we wouldn't have come up short. All right, this is absurd. Of course, you cannot come up short. Your trials are tailor-made for you. You'll get the exact amount of trials you need, no more, no less. And they've already been set, just like the snatching away has been set. And it's not a waste of time to imagine being delivered away. I recommend to expect to be delivered away. That's even stronger word than imagine. It's to expect it. See, this encourages trial orientation. This encourages you to be oriented to think about trial. I need to go through another day. I need to gut through another day. What is this? The Marines? if it is the Marines, then God is in charge of the boot camp, and nobody in the Marines says, oh geez, let's run another mile, add another 10 pounds to my backpack, Sergeant. Nobody does that in the Marines. No. It's going to happen. Whatever they do, you do it. Whatever God says we need, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm not going to come up short by looking to get out of here. How could I come up short? I tell God, look, don't take me out of here until I'm done. But that's a ridiculous prayer, because he's not going to take us out of here until we're done. And the day he takes us out of here is the day we're done. Nobody's going to go, just one more trial, please. I don't want to come up short. I don't want to come up short in my celestial service. One more trial. I was so close. No. Let Jesus Christ be our model here. Deliver us from evil. Let this cup pass from me if it's in your will. If not, I'll take it. But yeah, get it out of here if you can. And Paul's telling the saints to look for the return of Christ, to love his appearing. That's what Clyde's saying is a waste of time here, to love his appearing. What does his appearing mean? His appearing means that we're delivered away out of here. His appearing means we're done. That's it. Woohoo! That's a waste of time.